hated living. I hated everything and everyone. I just wanted to die. Faith Farm was an old frame house with creaky wooden stairs, so I turned off my heavy metal music so I could hear anyone coming up the staircase. I knew that if a staff member caught me doing what I was about to do, I could get into serious trouble. None of the other foster kids were around. It was just me, the evening sunlight, a small jar of black ink, and a sewing needle I'd found. I wrapped some thread around the tip of the needle so it could soak up some ink, like the wick on our old kerosene heater. I dipped the needle into the murky, dark liquid and watched it saturate the thread. Carefully, I drew the needle out of the ink and then pushed the needle into my skin slightly above my left breast. Ouch, I screamed silently as the pain seared into my chest. It felt like a pinprick, but the burning sensation didn't disappear. Again and again, I stuck the makeshift tattoo needle into my breast, the ink-soaked thread leaving an indelible mark as I pulled it through my skin. Slowly, the letters began to take shape, first the F, then T. Blood dripped down my chest, staining the top of my pants. With every prick of the needle, I was reminding myself of what I felt. I knew what those letters meant. Most of the foster kids I met knew what the initials signified as well. Those who didn't would get it all too soon. FTW. Again and again, I stuck the needle into my breast, stabbing my skin repeatedly as I painstakingly drew, dot by excruciating dot, a cross and a battle axe below the letters. Blood now ran freely down my ribcage. Bitter memories of my childhood raced through my mind, and I became angrier, yet somehow more numb, as the pain of my childhood replaced the pain of the needle. I stabbed my skin faster and faster until finally a mixture of blood and ink smeared my chest. Only then did I stop. I sat there quietly with calligraphy ink covering my hands, my eyes searching all around the room. I didn't know what I was looking for. I was lost and alone. After a few minutes, I stood up, walked over to the mirror, and stared at the initials freshly tattooed in my swollen chest. The letters emblazoned in purple ink, the skin around each letter a sickly reddish purple color, FTW. Those initials expressed exactly what I felt inside. The cross and battle axe below the initials represented my war with religion. If God really loves me, as I'd heard all my life, I wouldn't be in this situation right now. I stared into the mirror again, then lifted my eyes toward the ceiling. Please, God, if you are really there, give me a reason to change the meaning of these letters. It wasn't a prayer, it was a challenge.
Part 1. A wake-up call. 1. Big time. I ran to the edge of the stage and scanned the crowd of 18,000 screaming fans and flashing cameras. The pinpricks of light reminded me of the stars back in North Carolina. My childhood friend Rob Daniels and I had spent our breaks at the Osage Textile Mill, standing on the edge of the concrete loading dock, staring at the starlit sky. We were kids sharing our dreams about becoming famous musicians someday. I looked over at Rob and nodded at our images on the Jumbotron behind us. Rob grinned from ear to ear. We both knew what the other was thinking. We did it, man. It was October 21st, 2009, and we were playing Madison Square Garden along with Dierks Bentley as part of the closing leg of Brad Paisley's American Saturday Night Tour. Brad had already taken the tour to more than 500,000 people that year, but even he was excited to play the Garden for the first time. "This place sure would hold a lot of hay," Brad quipped as he gazed around the arena, as genuinely in awe as the rest of us. Brad's crew had loaded into the arena, starting at 8 in the morning for a 7:30 evening show, so the stage was already set when the artists and bands arrived mid-afternoon. After about a half-hour sound check for each artist, it was time for dinner. I went backstage to the dressing room area where I could keep my voice warmed up in private. Shortly before 7:30, my road manager knocked on the door. 10 minutes, Jimmy," he called. I walked from the dressing rooms toward the main stage. Even being backstage at Madison Square Garden was intimidating. Photos of entertainment legends Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, U2, Paul McCartney, Billy Joel, Elton John. Elton played the Garden more than 60 times. The Rolling Stones, and more stars than I can name, lined the hallway leading to the stage. A silent reminder of, you better be good. They'd all graced the stage on which I was